We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I don't always say this, but I have full intentions of remaining brief tonight, but we'll see what happens. That doesn't generally doesn't go that way, especially when I try to be. So we'll see. Matthew chapter 7, let's read verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Okay. You know, there's a scripture, another scripture where Jesus, I think it was Jesus, said that the rain falls on the just and on the unjust alike. Is it in that same place, man? Huh, what do you know? Well, storms will come to everyone. Storms come in life. And how you actually can determine the outcome of that storm of how you will come out of that. Now, you can't always predict when the storm will come. Many times, storms come quite irregularly when you're least expecting them. Have you ever found that to be the case when life seems to be just going one way, life's going great, and you feel like, all right, I got some traction going, and then all of a sudden, storm happens, and that storm, if you let it, it can stop you, it can slow you down, it can pull you back, it can bring you down, it can take you out. Or you can let it strengthen you. Because, you know, I always remember this story as Ted Shuttlesworth Sr., he shared this, that he planted this tree in his front yard, and he's a minister, if anyone doesn't know, and he planted this tree in his front yard, and he has an apple tree, and it was about a year old, so it was still pretty small, and he was backing his car into the yard. For whatever reason, he was backing it out of the yard. I think he said the driveway was full, and he's backing into the yard, and he actually backed over this tree, and it didn't break the tree completely, but you could tell that the tree had been messed up pretty bad. And he had other apple trees in his yard, but that apple tree, when it grew up a few years later, produced the most fruit out of all of his trees. Because that tree, you know, it went through that storm. It went through that, I don't know what you want to call it, huh? Distress. It went through that distress, and that forced it to, I don't know exactly how that plant did what it did, but maybe it caused it to grow its roots deeper, maybe it caused it to strengthen itself, but that tree began to bear more fruit than all the other ones around it because it strengthened itself, because somehow it had gone through that. And that's the way that we can be in storms in life, that when we go through stuff, just because its intention is to try to stop you, is to try to destroy you, is to try, you know, I mean, when that car backed over that tree, its intention was to kill that tree. Obviously, he did it as an accident, but that car doing that, it wasn't good for that tree in the natural. You wouldn't think like, oh, this is great, I ran over my tree. You'd be like, oh my gosh, my tree, I just planted. I mean, whatever, but when it happened, it's not like you rejoice that it happens, but what can happen is you can allow that to propel you forward. And so you have to, you know, it would be awesome, seemingly. You would think it would be awesome if you everything just always went perfect, right? You never encountered opposition, you never encountered bad trials, situations, whatever. But those are the things that will test your faith and show you what's on the inside. You know, that's one thing about the fire of God and the presence of God, that when you get into the presence of God and We talk about the fire of God and how it comes to burn on the inside of us. And often what that does is it begins to expose things in our life. And how we deal with those things when they're exposed to us is very often determines on how much God can then do in our life. Because when you go through trials, when you go through situations that aren't pleasant to you, it'll expose what's on the inside of you. If you've ever been mistreated by somebody, anybody here ever been mistreated by somebody? Maybe it's your boss, maybe it's your mom and dad, your brother, your sister, your mother-in-law. Anybody have a mother-in-law? Yeah, okay. You know what I'm talking about. I'm just kidding. Anyway, but seriously. Okay, and... Anyway, you've been mistreated. I don't even remember what I was talking about. That sometimes I do that. But hold that. I have to come back because I know what I was gonna say was gonna be really good. Keep going. Man, you guys really are listening tonight. This is great. Do you guys always listen this good? Man. You know, sometimes I wonder if you guys are actually listening, but you guys really got it. You guys got, like, the whole thing down. All right. All right. Jordan, what are you saying? Thank you, Jordan. Man in the back. All right. Comes through. All right. Thank you. All right, so that's exactly what I know what I was talking about. You guys were close, not quite there yet. I mean, you were working your way towards the answer, but Jordan had it in the back. So the fire of God, it exposes what's on the inside of you. And if you've had an unpleasant encounter with someone that, you know, a relationship, it will show you real quick what's on the inside of you and often will tell you, God's still got a lot of work to do on me. That's generally what happens to me. You know, I was reading a scripture today in James where it says, be slow to speak, or I think it's be slow to speak and slow to wrath. And how a slow answer is so much better. And it's so true because too often when we're going through situations and, you know, someone's mistreating you and you feel like, you know, especially when you know they're mistreating and you feel justified in what you're going to say, it's so often, it almost never causes that situation to get any better. Even if you have the perfect answer to tell them, like, you know, why they're wrong and how your solution and whatever is better and you just need to shut up and listen to me and blah, blah, blah. It almost never helps. And so when we do that, when we give that quick answer, and sometimes we do it with attitude and we're sharp with people, it exposes what's on the inside of us. And sometimes you can be just, it happens where you get in the flesh and something mean comes out, and then you end up regretting it. So it's so much better for to just hold your tongue, but that comes by allowing God to do a work on the inside of you and allowing Him to deal with you in these areas and build the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And as the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, patience, joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things happen, it helps you. It helps you to go through that. So we need to stay in the fire so that God can bring these things up and then deal with us in them. But when you go through distressing situations and when you go through trials and bad things happen, it's like that tree that got ran over that it's then going to eventually produce more fruit because of it. You know, if you will allow yourself to repair yourself and become stronger, if you realize that, hey, this is an area that when I'm being mistreated that I want to just rise up and freak out on the person, which is the natural thing to do, been there myself many times, that if I can build myself up in this area to then be able to give a slow answer, to be able to take time and think about it and give a loving answer without just, you know, going off, flipping off the handle or whatever, well, then that will then cause me to grow as a person. You know, in any areas of our lives, if we can allow God to work in us, it'll help us to grow. But too often we go through a storm or a situation and we didn't prepare enough in advance. Now, if you've ever lived in Florida, you know about a couple of things. You know about hurricanes and you know about trailer parks, because those two things are all over the place in Florida. You know, when I was there, I lived in this town called Zephyr Hills, and it was like one big trailer park. And, you know, my brother and I, it wasn't pleasant, but we said this is where America comes to die. Because, like, you get all... it's bad, isn't it? You get all these, you know, retirees that come down, and they just play golf and until they croak. So, but anyway... My mom's like, how can he say such things? It's true. I lived there long enough to know. It's true. When a storm comes, you prepare for it in advance, right? And that's another thing that you learn in Florida, is that people, they prepare for the storm, they prepare for the hurricane before it comes, right? You buy buckets of dehydrated rice and beans and all this stuff so that if power's out for weeks at a time, you know, you at least got your food so you can get through. What's that? Yeah. Do we have any more comments from the peanut gallery? No, I'm just kidding. That's fine. I think they do reuse them. I think they do. All right. We have a native. Okay. A native Floridian. But so that you prepare for the storm that it gets there. Now, anybody that lives in a trailer park is like, they're making a choice not to be prepared for a storm right off the bat. You're deciding to live in a home that is not designed to go through a hurricane when you know that hurricanes come to Florida. It's stupid. It really is. And, you know, if you ever watch the news after a hurricane, they always want to show you the damage that was done in Florida. Where are those videos from? The trailer parks, right? They're not like, they don't go to like a downtown and show you concrete and steel buildings that collapsed from the hurricane, because they were prepared for the storm when it came. You can even design, you know, the skyscrapers, they flex with the wind a little bit. I mean, maybe not this much, but they flex a little bit so that when the wind is coming, they're prepared for it. They're designed to be able to handle that. They're ready for it. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about being ready for the storm. He's not saying that you won't go through the storm. He's saying that when the storm comes, it won't affect you. And how are you ready for the storm? I would say there's several things, but for me, primarily, it's your faith. It's having a faith and knowing that my God is going to come through for me. It's having a faith and knowing that my God is going to protect me, that whatever the devil tries to take from me, the Lord will restore it. He will bring more. He will bring increase. Even though it might look like this storm is trying to take me down and destroy me, God can bring increase. Amen? Now, many Christians, they have trailer park faith. Their faith is no better than a trailer park in a Category 5 hurricane, where a storm comes and it decimates them. They go through something, and all of a sudden, their life becomes a wreck when a storm of life happens, when, you know, a situation in the family happens, and it's just bad. They freak out. They're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Oh, my gosh. And yada, yada, yada. And they talk failure. They talk defeat. They say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. I don't know how I'm going to find another job. I don't know how I'm going to find living conditions and everything. Like, I mean, and they just came out of a Sunday service. They had their hands lifted and they were worshiping, praising, saying, I love you, Lord Jesus. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. You know, and they come out of the service and then they get bad news and boom, everything that they were just so happy about comes crashing down, because their faith isn't strong. You know, we, like I said, we hit two deer with our car, and That's not a pleasant thing to go through. You know, I mean, I had my wife sitting next to me. Yana was in the car. Zara's in the back seat. So it's a little bit nerve-wracking, you know, in the natural when you look up and you see six or seven deer standing all across the road and there's a car coming from the other direction. So I'm like, there's nowhere to go. And there's a guardrail on the right. So the only thing that I could do is slam on my brakes and plow through these deer. And but when I hit those deer, I don't. You can ask my wife, you can ask Yana, you can ask Zara, but she won't give you an intelligent response. She slept through the whole thing. She was like Jesus in the back of the boat. You know, you got to have childlike faith, right? She's just sleeping through the whole thing. But like, we hit these deer, and it did not bother me one bit. You know what? My first thought was, praise the Lord, I'm getting a new car. It was not like, oh my gosh, I am so terrified of driving. I have PTSD. I don't know if I'm ever going to drive again. I did not have nightmares of crashing my car into deer. I didn't have a, you know, I don't get like flashbacks where like suddenly I get like a nervous sweat thinking about deer. Man, it didn't bother me one bit. And like the car, like Ginny, she saw the car. Julia saw the car. I can show you the pictures. The car was pretty much destroyed on the whole front end, and it actually was pretty serious. But the thing is, and this isn't about like, oh wow, I'm great or whatever, but I'm saying I've prepared my life so that I know when a storm comes, my faith is grounded in God, and that whatever the devil tries to do, and I'm not saying that the devil was in those deer and he was using, but you know what I mean. I'm talking about, I mean, deer can be kind of demonic, trust me. Anyway, I won't go into that. But you know what I mean? A situation happens and I could really let it get me down and frustrated and be like, man, now I don't have a car. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't, you know, whatever. But it's just like, no, I know that if one door closes, it's not just that another door opens. It's that a better one opens. That's the way that our mentality has to be, is that if God is going to always bring increase, he's going to bring prosperity, he's going to make the way for us. And so when your life is grounded in God, which is what he's talking about, being grounded in the rock, being grounded in the word, having your faith so sure that no matter what you face, you're going to just go through it and you don't have to worry. You know, I listened to a sermon once, and it was called Breezing Through the Storms of Life. And they used these scriptures. And I really like that, because you can. You can breeze through the storms of life. And speaking of Jesus in the back of the boat, I mean, you talk about the storm. Well, the disciples, they literally faced a storm. They were in a boat, in a storm, and they were literally sinking. It says that the winds were blowing and the water was coming into the boat, and they were actually perishing. Now, these were not idiots. They weren't people that didn't know how to operate a ship. Most of them were fishermen. They knew that this is a serious situation. They were experts in that field, and when they said that we're dying, it wasn't just like a fear thing that like, oh, I'm so nervous, this is a storm, we could die. No, these were fishermen. They knew that this storm was serious enough. The situation was bad enough that we're dying, right? And when they faced that storm, they did what most people do. They panicked and they were freaking out. But we have to look at Jesus' response to that. All he did was he was sleeping in the back of the boat, just like baby Zara was. She was sleeping as we hit through those deer. Never woke up. We brought her home, put her right back to sleep. Jesus, when he's going through that storm, he's just totally chill. And they wake him up, and he doesn't freak out with them. Oh my gosh, you're right, we're going to die. What are we going to do? I don't know. Get the buckets, let's start emptying the ship. No, he just speaks to the storm, and then they go on. They go on. Right? So we can't let the storm shake us. We can't let the storm move us. You have to be immovable in your faith. Now, understand like things, especially other genders other than myself, females, can be more emotional, all right? Not all of them, all right? My mom doesn't have emotions. They were broken as a child. I'm kidding. She's just German, all right? But, you know, I understand that people, I shouldn't pick on just the women, but since I'm outnumbered tonight, I might as well. But You know, people can be emotional, and I understand that when, you know, you hit a deer or you go through a storm, you know, you get in a fight with your spouse, different things happen, that is an emotional experience, okay? So I understand that aspect of it. But ultimately, you have to bring your emotions back down and ground yourself in the Word. Okay, like I went through this experience, but is God still God? Is God still on the throne in heaven? Am I still seated in Christ in heavenly places? Did Jesus still die on the cross for me? Am I still more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ? Does Jesus' name still work? At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. So that's what you have to do. You have to remind yourself, and that's grounding yourself in the Word. Not just looking at your situation being like, oh my gosh, we don't know what's going to happen. You might not know what's going to happen, but you can know that God's going to come through for you, but He won't come through for you if you don't use your faith. And that's what I'm talking about, having your faith grounded in God's Word. And how do we, you guys are river people, how do we use our faith? Prayer, yeah. Anything else? We speak it, our confession. We release our faith. You know, there's many ways of releasing your faith, but primarily through words. You're constantly using words, and you release your faith through words. So when you're in the storm, what should you be saying? You should be speaking the Word of God over the situation. I thank you that my God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Yeah, this car is done, but I know that God's going to supply me with another one. I know that my God's going to take care of me. Amen? So that's being rooted and grounded in the Word. I'm not saying that you go through a situation that you can't, you know, like, experience it emotionally, but you bring those emotions in check to the Word of God. You ground yourself in the Word. And you speak the Word, and that will build your faith. Amen? And it will give God room to move on your behalf. Amen? Hallelujah. So are you prepared for the storm? You have to be. You know, you don't... The people that get themselves hurt are the people that are trying to prepare for the storm in the storm. You know? It's like the hurricane's on and they're out in the middle of the hurricane trying to find, you know, food and water. It's stupid, right? So you don't wait for the storm to come and then being like, oh yeah, we should go get storm. Those are the people that you see in the ditch in a snowstorm, you know, that they went out to go get milk and bread or whatever from the grocery store in the middle of a blizzard or whatever. You know, I'm just saying, you prepared for the storm before the storm happened. So don't wait in life for a storm to happen to then think like, now's the time to start praying. No, the time to start praying was before that storm ever hit you. The time to be in the Word was before that storm ever happened. You know, like when a symptom of sickness tries to come on your body, yet you can look up that scripture about healing that, you know, Pastor Jeremiah is always talking about, or you could have that scripture memorized in your head so that you know that I can just confess it. That is just like right there, boom, because it's ingrained in me. I'm grounded in that. That thing, that scripture, that Word of God has become part of my life. That's part of me. Amen? That's being grounded in the Word. That's being prepared for the storm. And Jesus says, if you're wise, you'll be prepared. You know, you'll be ready for it. Not just reacting to the storm, but you're already prepared. Amen? Amen. All right, let's look at Psalms chapter 34. This psalm, the first 10 verses, is one of my favorites. And if you don't already, I mean, you probably know more than you think of this psalm, but this would be a good one to memorize, especially the first 10 verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Amen? He delivered me from all my fears. It's therefore unscriptural to remain in fear. Right? You know, if you have fear that you're constantly battling with, you shouldn't. That's not right. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but that of power, love, and a sound mind. Right? And the Lord here delivered him from all his fears. So the Lord will deliver you from your fears. You have nothing to be worried about. They looked to him and they were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The Lord will save you out of some of your troubles. All of your troubles. The Lord delivered him out of all of his troubles. And here, this is the verse that I really wanted to look up when I was thinking of this message. Verse 7. The other verses are bonus, but they're good as well. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamps about you. It camps all around you. So you got nothing to worry about. You can plow through a herd of deer with joy. Because I know that the angel of the Lord encamps all around me. Amen? A storm can come against me. It's going to try and stop me. It's going to try and take me out. Situations are going to try and bring me down. They're going to try and slow me down. They're going to try and stop me. But does the angel of the Lord, does he still encamp all around me? He does. You know, my wife shared earlier this year already how last year, of course, it was one of our best years that we've ever had together, but how through the year she faced, and I mean, together we faced a lot of trials and really storms that happen in our family life, especially in her side of the family with things that were going on with different family members. But, you know, even through that, you know, and it always happens at the least or the most inopportune times. Sunday morning, you're driving to church and you get a phone call about something that's going on. And, you know, so-and-so are splitting up and different things are happening. And, you know, and you want to, in the natural, you want to respond to that and you want to let it bother you, but you can't. You just can't. You just have to remain grounded in the Word. That no matter what this situation might try to do, is trying to pull me in this direction emotionally or that direction. No, I'm going to remain grounded in the Word. God is still God. He's still on the throne. His Word is still true. And I'm going to plow through this storm. This storm, when it hits me, this storm is going to get destroyed, not me. Amen? You can destroy the storm. You don't have to let the storm destroy you. There's been many times, many things that we've gone through, you know, even with, like, you know, the church building. You know, I've shared that testimony here numbers of times. I don't have to go over the whole thing, but, you know, when we're looking for a church building and you've looked everywhere and you feel like there's no other churches left to look at, there's no other buildings, there's no other opportunities, what else are we going to do? It just feels like we failed. This is the end of River Church. We're done. You know, and then God comes through for you. In the natural, it feels like you're going down. And the disciples were solely based in the natural, in their feelings. But you can't stay in the feelings. You have to then bring yourself back. Always, whenever you can't, as a Christian, as a Spirit-filled Christian, you can't live by feelings. I'm not saying you don't have feelings. I mean, some people wonder if I do. I sometimes wonder if I do. I do have feelings. But I don't let my feelings control me. You know, I'm not going to be just an emotional person where it's like when I'm going through something, I've chosen years ago that I will not let my emotions dominate me. I feel them. I go through situations like other people do, and I know what my emotions are telling me, that I should be scared, that I should be worried, that I should have more concern, but I've decided long ago that I will remain grounded in the Word, not grounded in my emotion. And people think that, like, being unemotional is, I don't know, people have different thoughts about it. Some people think that's rude. Some people think it's immature. Some people think it's ignorant. Whatever. I've just chosen that my emotions about the situation aren't going to help me. They're not going to get me through, right? They're not going to, like, change the situation. But my faith, but my Jesus, they can change the situation, right? my faith in God, my confession, my knowledge of the Word, all of that can actually help and change the situation, right? All right, let's just finish the last three verses and then we'll read a couple more scriptures and then close. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. You see, no matter what comes your way, the angel of the Lord is still encamped all around you. No matter what comes your way, if you'll seek the Lord, you will not lack any good thing. Amen? That's not based on your circumstance. That's not based on your hair color. It's not based on your shoe size, on your waist belt size, your inseam, your outseam, whatever else seams you got. It's not based on that. It's not based on your age. It's not based on if you're a man or if you're a woman, what school you went to, what school you didn't go to. It's not based on how you were raised. You see, the Word of God is unemotional. It just works. It just works. So I know we like to get emotional, but understand that in the end, that's not going to get you anywhere positive. You have to bring those back and just realize, what does God's Word say about this situation? Now let's just read a couple more scriptures and then we'll close tonight's message. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Is this helping anyone? Yeah. Let's look at 5 through 7. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see the difference? The flesh is your emotions, your natural reasoning, your carnal nature. That's the flesh, what your body is telling you. All right, and then look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what? Is what? Death, right. For to be carnally minded is death. You see what I mean? Carnally minded is your natural thinking. It's your emotional thinking. It's everything that is not spiritual thinking. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and what? All right, I got one person that can read. Does anybody else read these letters that I'm reading? To be spiritually minded is what? All right, we got another reader. Come on, I'm going to get everybody together. Does everyone have their Bible tonight? Oh, we got St. Regina left her Bible at home. Okay, who has their Bible? All right, I'll give you help. If you ever forget your Bible, there is this thing called your phone, and there's an app on there, the Bible app, and you can just download the Bible app and read along with me. It's important to read along in these scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and it's not good enough to hear Pastor Jeremiah say it. You got to read it for yourself. So make sure you got your Word with you. All right, so who can read with me? All right, great. Let's just read this whole verse together, verse 6. I'm going to read it and you can read it after me, all right? For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All right, so what is to be spiritually minded? Life and peace. That's good, right? Many people struggle with anxiety. They struggle with worry. They struggle with their thought life. They struggle with this very thing. And here is the answer. To be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded is your natural reasoning. It's your mind. It's allowing the things of this world determine your thinking. But to be spiritually minded is life. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. And peace. God gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. So if you want that, You're not going to find it here. Everyone look. We will not find it here. You find it in your heart. To be spiritually minded is through your spirit being, being led by the Spirit. So if you're in a situation and you don't have peace and you're in a storm and things aren't pleasant, things aren't going well, and you don't know what to do and you want to be frantic and everything feels like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do and I don't know how I'm going to make it through and I don't know the answer, what are you listening to? Are you listening to your mind? Are you listening to the thoughts of this world? Are you listening to Judge Judy? Are you listening to this world? Are you listening to your mind? Or are you listening to the Spirit of God? Because to be spiritually minded is what? All right, three of you guys, after all that. To be spiritually minded is what? All right. Jordan, I didn't hear you back there. It's what? He's got it. All right. All right. Now let's just read a few more verses here in chapter 8. 14 through 17 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." You want to be a son of God? You got to be led by the Spirit of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Meaning we didn't receive a spirit of fear, but we received the spirit of adoption that makes God our heavenly Father, making us His children, His spiritual sons. Amen? "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." I am a child of God. Say, I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
"And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." So you are a child of God, you're an heir of God, you're a joint heir with Christ. That's all good news. Amen? Now let's look at verse 27 and 28. "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God." So who is he talking about here? Now he, speaking about Jesus, it's capital H right there. We're talking about Jesus here. You can study it out. "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for" who? "For the saints." So he's talking about Peter and Paul and James and John. Who's he talking about? You're a saint. I was with someone recently explaining to me how the saints become saints, and according to the Catholic tradition, and I'm just like, man, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible already tells me that I'm a saint. You know, you don't have to die and then become a saint. No, Jesus is praying for me. He's making intercession for the saints. He's making intercession for me. Why would Jesus be interceding on behalf of saints that are dead? Does that make any sense? No. He's up in heaven praying for me, interceding on my behalf. Man, you know, people are all about on Facebook getting people to pray for them. What for? You already have Jesus interceding on your behalf in heaven. You got Jesus praying for you, interceding for you. Forget Facebook. All right, verse 28. This is where I want to get to. "And we know that all things work together." How many things?
All
things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If you love God and you're called according to His purpose, then all things have to work together for your good. You need to be rooted and grounded in this scripture. This scripture has to become a part of you. For me, this happened when I went actually through a trial in my life where I was going through something very tough emotionally, and And this scripture is what I stood on, and I would read the scripture over and over again, that I know no matter what things look like in the natural, God has to work all things together for my good, because I love you, God, and I know that I'm called according to your purpose. Rooted and grounded in his word. Rooted and grounded in this word. Make it a part of your life. Amen? So don't let your confession change because of the storm. Let your confession change the storm. Amen? Let your confession change the outcome of the storm. Don't confess what the storm is doing to your life. That's what too many trailer park Christians are doing, right? That's trailer park faith, where they're talking about how the storm is coming and how it's destroying their life. This is what the devil is doing to me this week. Christians know more about what the devil is doing than what God is doing in their life. Amen. They can tell. Don't say amen to that. It's just a habit. Sometimes I say amen when I'm not supposed to. It's Christianese, you know. So people know more about what the devil is doing in their life. Oh, the devil, he's been after me all week long. Well, what has God been doing in your life all week long? You're a Christian. You're supposed to be blessed. Doesn't the angel of the Lord encamp about you? Huh? Doesn't God work all things together for your good? Or are you just someone that God has neglected? Are you someone that God's word doesn't work for? No, it's just that people too often focus on the negative side of things, even on the negative side of God's word, and they find scriptures about the devil and how he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so now this person thinks, oh, the devil's been devouring me all week. Forget that. Forget that. Don't let the storm determine what your confession is. Jesus' confession when the storm happened didn't change. He spoke to the storm, peace be still. Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Jesus was so peaceful. He was full of peace no matter what the storm said to him. No matter what the storm was saying about his situation, he was full of peace so that he could speak peace to the storm, because that's what he had on the inside of him. He did not let the storm dictate how he felt. Amen? So, I don't know if some of you, maybe you're in a storm. If you're not, great, prepare for one, because storms, they come to everyone. Situations, they come to everyone. And you need to be prepared. You need to be rooted and grounded in God's word so that when something happens, it doesn't sink your ship. You can just take a nap during it. Right? And then when you wake up, you're like, oh, it's storming. Peace be still. Done. Let's go home, call it a day, right? You don't have to like freak out and call everybody and text all your friends about how life sucks and about how, you know, I'm a Christian and I thought things are supposed to be getting better, but they're not, and yada, 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 all right? You can just speak life, amen? So speak your confession to change the storm. Don't let the storm change your confession, amen?
Amen.
Don't be moved by the storm, all right? Move the storm. Stop the storm. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that helps somebody. That really came because of those deer that I hit. That I felt like, you know what? Many people probably would have freaked out after, you know, hitting a couple deer and losing their car and like gotten all worked up about it. And I just realized, you know what? That never even bothered me from start to finish. I was like, this is great. New car, dead deer. It's a great day. So, praise God. Number nine. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that we can be rooted and grounded in you, rooted and grounded in your love, rooted and grounded in your word. I thank you that as we ground ourselves in your word, that when storms come, when situations and trials and distressing things happen to us, persecutions, anything that tries to come to slow us down, to try and take us, to take our focus off of you, to try and distract us, to try and stop us, I thank you, Lord, that we will stop, we'll reflect on your word, we'll stir ourselves up in the spirit, that we won't remain, that we won't be carnally minded, but we will remain spiritually minded, and that we will speak life and we will speak peace, that we will speak your word. I thank you, Lord, that whatever storm may try to come our way will be stopped in Jesus' name because of our faith. That our faith and our confession and our grounding in the word will be like a mighty fortress. I thank you, Lord, that you encamp around each and every single one of us, that you deliver us from all of our troubles, that you deliver us from all of our distresses, that nothing from the enemy can touch us, and that you work all things together for our good. And I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe that, say amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.